So this is the February 1 meeting of the Pacifica National Board. And I am Susan Young. I am convening this meeting as chair pro tem. Will the secretary pro tem take the role?
Absolutely. So you could answer when you hear your name. Irene Adams?
Present.
Thank you. Teresa Allen? Keep going. Kaja Brown?
Present.
Thank you. Donna Carter?
Present.
Thank you. Paul DiRienzo?
He asked for an excused absence.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Gotcha. Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
Present.
Thank you. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you. Heather Gray. I'll come back around. Avalia Jones.
Present.
Thank you. Zach Caldvier.
Present.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
Present.
Thank you. Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Thank you. Myla Reeson.
I'm here.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you. Serene Roberts. I'll come back around. Minerva Sanders.
She was practicing unmuting. I think she's still practicing.
Why don't you come back around? She'll get herself.
Okay. Yeah. Harvey Wasserman.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis.
Present.
Thank you. Susan Young.
Present.
Okay, let me go back to the top. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray. All right, I'll keep going. Serene Roberts. Minerva Sanders.
So let me make this suggestion that we continue with, we have quorum, that we continue with the meeting, and Minerva may have to drop off and come back in again. And as soon as she does, we'll recognize her.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have 18 for sure. So that's quorum.
Excellent. And thank you, Madam Secretary, for stating that you're the appropriate person to do that. Excused absences. I understand we've had one request for excused absence. Paul DiRienzo, is there any objection to excused absence?
Point of order. This is Sean, Chair.
Hello, Sean.
The secretary didn't finish reading the names of the other people who are at the meeting.
Thank you, Sean, for keeping us on track.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely correct about that. So let me go to the other people who attend the meetings. Stephanie Wells. Kim Kaufman.
I'm present.
Thank you. Arthur Schwartz. I'm not sure we expect him this early. All right. And Julie Hewitt. Sorry, I am here.
Thank you, Minerva. If you can hear me, I'm here.
Yes, Minerva, gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hooray.
So Minerva has indicated she's present. And we have been through the folks who are in addition to the board members. Excuse absence.
I think Serena's here. Call in user one.
Call Serene's name again. Serene Roberts.
Present.
I think I just heard you say present. It was very faint.
Present.
Yes, there you go. That was much better. Thanks, Serene. Gotcha.
There has been a request for excused absence. That is Paul DiRienzo, and I see that Stephanie is with us. Is there any objection to excusing Paul's absence? Hearing none, we'll go forward. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. I will read the agenda. Preliminary Chair, items.
Chair, this is Sean again. Yes. You skipped over identifying timekeepers.
Sean, thank you very, very much. I know that people are so anxious to be timekeepers, and I just didn't want to give them that fabulous opportunity. Timekeepers for people. I saw Fred's lips move.
That would be, I volunteer to do that. I'm certainly happy to give it up.
So if there isn't a lot of competition for timekeeper for people, Fred is the guy. Is there anyone who will volunteer for timekeeper for items?
Is it going to be like this every week? I'll do it.
Okay, we're going to have to all recruit others.
I say names in a hat for next meeting.
So let me just check in with Sean. Are we okay to go to agenda approval?
By all means.
Thank you very much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help. Okay, agenda approval. And I will read through the agenda. Preliminary items were call to order, roll call, excused absences, identify timekeepers. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. We're in that right now. Approve minutes of January 25, 2024, 5 minutes. Motion ratifying election of officers for the 2024 PNB, see appendix, 5 minutes. Motion on nominating and voting on 2024 Standing Committee elections, audit coordinating governance, national finance, one director for each station for each committee, 10 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 15 minutes. General counsel report and Q&A, 15 minutes. Agree on schedule for regular meetings, 10 minutes. And the proposed schedule is continue first and third Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Old business, 10 minutes. Carryover motions from 2023 Personnel Committee, see appendix. New business, 5 minutes. Motion to move into executive session at a time certain at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let me ask the collective folks, probably Julie and Sean, do I go ahead and read the agenda items for the executive session?
Not at this time.
Okie dokie. And then adjourn at a time certain of 12 midnight. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a
point
second?
Of order. Point of order.
Yes, what's your point of order?
Who made the determination about 12 midnight?
Did the body it's on the agenda, and you can, and if you wish to make an amendment, offer an amendment. So it's been moved. Your point of order is out of order. Teresa, did you second? Unmute, please.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Miley, you had your hand up. Miley, you have your hand up.
I know. I was having difficulty unmuting. I just wanted to say, just nitpicky, say midnight Eastern. Is that right? You said midnight, but you didn't specify time zone.
Thank you. And it should be spoken. Eastern Standard Time. Yes. Okay. Are there any, if there are no objections.
Can you not hear me?
Sometimes. Serene, Do you have a motion to amend?
11:30.
Okay, there has been a motion to amend the agenda to have a time certain at 11:30. Is there a second?
I'd like to offer a friendly motion amendment.
What's yours?
There is mine, no such is thing. Mine is to adjourn time certain at 10 o'clock.
Okay, so let me just...
Is there a second?
That would be offering a different amendment. Serene, would you be willing to have that motion succeed yours?
What time zone is the person referring to? I don't even know who's speaking. I'm not on Zoom, so I can't tell who's talking.
10 o'clock Eastern time.
Fred Dodsworth spoke and suggested 10 o'clock.
Eastern time.
Point of information. No,
What's your question?
I'm sorry, I didn't remember we were waiting for Serene to answer your question. I'll hold my point of information till she gets a chance to answer.
Serene, go ahead.
I think Kadra Brown indicated. Who's speaking?
You.
No, that wasn't me just now. That was someone else.
No, it's feedback, Serene. It's feedback.
No, it was coming from Avelia's device. I think she needs to mute.
So, Serene, we're having trouble hearing you. Would you be kind to speak loudly and clearly so we know what your response
is? The phone is in my mouth. I think Kaja Brown indicated he needed to leave at 9 Mountain, which is 11 Eastern. I'd be fine with adjusting my 11:30 to 11.
Okay, so I would rather not go back and forth with a lot of motions on this. Can we accept? Is there any objection to changing the end time till 11 p.m.?
Point of information.
What's your question?
When a person decides to ask for less time, do they have to also let us know what it is they're requesting be cut to make that time?
No, I don't believe so. I believe that we can cut off half an hour.
We are at time for this item.
Great. So is there, and thank you, Darlene, probably technically we should say, and you're going to take this many minutes out of this, but I suggest we just go forward. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as it was amended to provide for a time certain of 11 p.m. Eastern time? Hearing none, we'll move forward.
Jan Goodman, I have a question.
Sure.
Before I object or don't object. Does that mean the open session, or does it mean the open session and the
closed
session?
Both. It ends. The entire agenda ends at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. And are presently we have a time certain to end the open part of the agenda at 10 p.m. Eastern. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it says.
Yes.
Okay. Is that enough time to finish the closed session of the agenda?
My suggestion is if we need more time, we look at it then. I prefer that we not spend so much time on the agenda that we move forward.
Okay.
And I personally believe that we can get to the closed session faster.
All right.
Serene, please.
Serene?
Can we eliminate the time certain of closed session at 10? So if we get rid,
Serene,
we get done with everything.
Yeah, I do not wish to argue this point. We'll move forward with the agenda
Excuse me. I have the floor. This is not about your personal preference. I'm saying right now, if we approve it as it stands, it means we have to remain in open session until 10 p.m. because the agenda currently says time certain for a closed session is 10. If we eliminate that and get through sooner, we can go sooner into executive session and get it all done. It's not really about what you want personally.
Thank you, Serena. I think your point is very well taken. Is there any objection to removing time certain for the endpoint of the open session?
Jan Goodman, I would like to say no later than 10 p.m., if that's possible. Time is certain, no later than 10. So we can leave earlier, but need until then, we'll have, and then there'll be a time certain. So we don't just not have an executive session.
Thank you. I think that all of those points are well taken, and that will give us good information about how to craft this better in the future. Thank you. Okay, are we done with the agenda?
We have to make a determination about whether or not we're going to make it instead of a time certain of no later than 10 p.m. to go into.
I just said that was there any objection to that? And there was none.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Approve. Okay, so we now are through the agenda. Approve minutes of the January 25th meeting. They were provided to you in advance. Is there a motion to approve
the minutes? So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
Excuse me, who seconded?
Kasia.
Kasia, thank you.
May I abstain? I know they were sent out this afternoon, but I haven't had a chance to read them.
Please note that Serene has abstained. Thank you. Motion ratifying election of officers for the 2024 PNB. And the agenda, the motion in the appendix is, whereas the Pacifica National Board held elections for officers and the teller's report dated January 31, 2024 has been shared with all directors, therefore be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board ratifies the teller's report and affirms the duly elected officers to be Chair Susan Young, Vice Chair Minerva Sanders, Secretary Julie Hewitt. Is there any objection to ratifying the teller's report? Hearing none. We can move forward. And congratulations to all who won, and to thank you to all who ran. And I think it's very impressive that 21 out of our 22 members voted. Okay, the next item on the agenda. Yes. Yes, Serene.
Can we thank the tellers publicly?
Oh, please, yes. I think we're very, very well, if you would like me to do that, Serene, or if you want to, and we're very, very well served by Terry Goodman and Sarah Roos. They do an amazing job. They gave us very fast turnaround. They're not just handling our elections. They're handling elections across the system. And we're going to be asking them to do more for us. That's a motion we'll be dealing with tonight. Thank you, Serene, for bringing that up. Anything else about this? Okay, speaking of which, motion on nominating and voting on 2024 standing committee elections, audit, coordinating, governance, national finance, one director for each station for each committee. And the motion is in the agenda. It's number 5. Motion on procedure for election of directors to committees. And let me just say that I rely very heavily on Julie Hewitt's knowledge of how this has been done in the past and pulling language that had been previously adopted and the procedures that have been tried and true and that Terry understands. Whereas the Pacific bylaws, Article 8, other committees of the Board of Directors, Section 3, Standing Committees requires the following standing committees of the PNB, Coordinating Committee, Governance Committee, Finance Committee, and Audit Committee. Therefore, be it resolved that the PNB nominations for standing committees open on February 1, 2024, that's today, when the nominations form is sent to all directors, that nominations close at midnight Pacific time on February 6, 2024. The directors will have until midnight Pacific time on February 8, 2024 to decline nominations to have their name not placed on the ballot, that the tellers will send out ballots on February 9, 2024, and the ballots will be due by midnight Pacific time on February 13, 2024. Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Is there? Okay, wonderful. Let me just make clear that what this provides is that the whole nomination process happens through the teller's platform. We are not making nominations from the floor tonight. We've all introduced each other at the previous meeting. We can all contact each other to say, are you willing to do this? Will your actions be, your policies be when you're serving? And so this is the way that we are able to facilitate this election, without the ability to be in person. Is there any objection to adopting this motion?
Serene?
Yes, Serene.
I have an amendment. The bylaws actually use the language in Article 8, Section 3, as you just quoted, that at least one director from each station area. So I would like us to make that at least one in this year mean two.
So you are making a motion to amend this so that there are two directors for each committee. Is that correct?
From each station area.
From each station area. Okay. Is there a second?
Yes, Vanessa seconds.
Okay. Can you state your case? Serene, will you state your case? Then maybe somebody speaks who opposes it. Fred Dodsworth has someone then who is in favor, and maybe that's Vanessa, and then somebody else who was opposed, and then we'll take a vote. Okay, so Darlene is in opposition. Well, Serene, please speak in favor.
The bylaws use the expression at least one. That does not restrict us to one. I see no reason why it shouldn't be two. It allows for those who may be a minority on the board to also have a voice in governance. The whole system is based on having various viewpoints represented. That's why we're using SDV voting, in our general delegate elections and in our elections certainly for listener seats to the PNB. So I think that if we are serious about really practicing our bylaws, you know, we should be happy to make it two. That seems both fair and reasonable to me.
Speaking against, Fred,
I'm opposed to two because I find that the lighter the team, the more committed the team, the more effective the team. And by adding two to the five, you end up with 10 people on every committee, and that turns out to be a mess. I've just seen too many times where people want to talk at length about things. We're already meeting twice a month at the PNB. We're probably going to be meeting at least once a month for these governance committees, but more likely twice a month. And it just consumes a great deal of time without actually getting anything done. The minority, whatever that means, people will be fully represented as they are currently on our staff, on our board choices. And so I really think that if we want to move forward and actually accomplish things, we need to reduce and speed up the operation.
Okay. In favor, is Vanessa?
Since I was voluntold to be in favor, that's fine. I think that
I thought you spoke in favor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No,
volunteer.
That's okay, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm used to being voluntold, so it's absolutely fine. So no, I think that Serene stated the case extremely well. We like to pride ourselves on following the bylaws, and that is what the bylaw says, at least one. So I'm sorry, yeah, at least one. So nothing precludes having two, which I think is very reasonable. Serene could have suggested even more, and that is not an unwieldy number of people to have on a committee. It provides more opportunity for more voices, which I think is a good thing.
Darlene, you were going to speak against?
Yes, at least one is one. It isn't two. Just saying, if we're going to read everything correctly, at least one is one. Again, don't forget the representation on many of these committees includes LSB members. So each station does get additional station voices by having their LSB members on the board as well. And it is some of these committees not only have the six station areas, not five, but they also have officers mandated to be at these meetings. So the number gets big fast. And I would say that any of us who did serve this year, and any of us who come to LSB meetings where 22 people get to have a say, understands why you don't just add extra because the bylaws say you don't have to just have one.
A point of information.
What's your point?
Has this model for that Ms. Roberts suggests been done in the past?
This is
a point of information. That's just a question too. Or
yes,
This is Kim.
Yes, it has.
Yes,
when?
I'm sorry.
When?
Can I answer Jim's question?
Yes, I'm asking you to do so.
Yes, it has been used. In fact, it was used regularly until a certain point when someone decided that at least one meant only one. And that it was troublesome to have too many people involved in making decisions that we all have to live with.
Kim? Yes?
My recollection is that it was
point
done
of order.
From
point of order.
2012, maybe 2013.
Can you hear me?
Hold on.
It had a problem.
I do not want this fight to happen. Okay. Serene, what's your point of order? What's your point of order?
The body. She's the recording secretary.
So Serene, thank you. I've recognized you. We're now going to go to the vote. Madam Secretary, will you take the vote? If you vote yes, that is that you are supporting the motion to have two directors on each of the standing committees. If you vote no, you're voting to keep with one director on each of the standing committees. Madam Secretary.
Madam Chair, I have a question before we vote.
Sorry, who had a question before we vote?
This is Ron Pinchback.
Okay, Ron, yes.
What happens if a single area only has one person interested in serving in that capacity? How does that affect the equation and participation?
May I respond?
Serene?
If you don't have two people at a station who want to do it, you can't compel anyone to do it. So you take one person. And I wanted to correct the framing of the motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
The amendment would only apply to those standing committees where the bylaws do not specify a different formulation. So, for example, the Finance Committee takes one director and each station's treasurer. and that's specified in the description of the Finance Committee. But the other committees where there is not such specificity, you would then be allowed to have two, wherever it would be at least one.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that. Teresa, you've got your hand up. And Myla's got her hand up.
Can you hear me? Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, but time is up for this item.
Is there a motion to extend for another 5 minutes?
No, there's actually just the time that we go to the vote when we run out of time.
Okay, we'll go to the vote. Thank you. Or unless, if there's an objection to extending, that means it would take two-thirds to extend. So let's just go to the vote. Right.
Could I have a question before we vote? Because I'm confused a little bit.
I can clarify what the motion is. And Serena will correct me. The motion is that for those standing committees where it's possible to have more than one director, that there be as many as two. And so that would be audit, governance, and coordinating. It would not be national finance because the LSB member is the treasurer. Mm-hmm. And the director is, well, actually, there could be two directors. Sorry, Serene. I think that national finance you could also have two directors on national finance.
You are incorrect. There are some committees that are standing committees where the bylaws are very specific about the composition. The general language that we're referring to here, where it says at least one, is for committees where a different formulation is not specified. So in finance, it would remain one director and one treasurer.
Point of information?
State your point. Yeah, what's your point?
We're out of time. We're supposed to be voting.
So the clarity is for those committees where it isn't specified, there may be as many as two directors, standing committees. There may be as many as two directors. Please take the vote, Julie.
All right. I will also note that Heather Gray has joined the call. So
can she speak?
Yes.
Just so for the record.
Heather Gray.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Here we
go on this vote. Irene Adams.
Pass.
Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Todja Brown.
Abstain.
Okay. Kaji abstains. Donna Carter.
Pass.
Paul DiRienzo. Oh, he asked for an excused absence. Sorry. Jim Dingman.
Pass.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth.
No, thank you.
No. Jan Goodman.
No.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
I'm passing as well.
Got it. Avelia Jones?
No.
Zach Caldvier?
No.
Marianne Martinez?
No.
Darlene Pagano?
No.
Ron Pinchback?
Pass.
Gotcha. Myla Reason.
Sorry. Myla? Yep. Sorry, I was slow to unmute. No.
Sean Rhodes.
Abstain.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Yes. Minerva Sanders.
No.
Harvey Wasserman.
No.
Egberto Willis.
No.
All right, let me go back around. Irene, you passed.
My vote is no.
Okay. Donna Carter?
No.
Jim Dingman?
Abstain.
Heather Gray?
Abstain.
And Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Gotcha. All right. And okay, so that puts the vote at the yeses are 2, the noes are 13. Chair, would you like to vote?
No, the chair won't vote unless breaking or creating a tie.
Okay. So the motion fails.
Okay. And I think, are there other motions to amend?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Minerva Sanders. I would like to make a motion, please.
Please, go ahead and state your motion.
Okay, the motion is, whereas the Pacifica Board Secretary is also the immediate past chair of the Pacifica National Board. Therefore, the secretary is made an ex officio non-voting member of the National Governance Committee. And that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Reason Goodman.
Jan, you seconded it?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Minerva, would you speak to it? Love, would you speak to it? Serene, I know you want to speak against it. Are there others who would like to speak to this?
Jan,
okay, go ahead. Okay, Jan.
Okay.
And so you'll speak after Serene, you'll speak in favor because you seconded it. Okay, great. And Teresa, is your hand a legacy hand? I am assuming it's a legacy hand. Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. The reason for the motion is because the Governance Committee, we need a secretary. We would need a secretary. And number two, that Julie's background, having been chair of the PNB, would assist us with making sure on that committee that we have someone with the knowledge of governance and being able to assist others who sign on. And I think she would be a very good fit for the committee.
Okay, I think that Serene, you wanted to speak against?
I do. You know, the bylaws are clear about who gets to be on certain committees because of their titles. So there are certain committees that the secretary and the chair and the vice chair, et cetera, are members of, and that's fine. But if the governance committee, once it's constituted, decides, and I would urge this, I've always urged, someone needs to mute.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Serene.
I said someone needs to mute. That's why we're hearing an echo.
I'm not hearing an echo.
We were hearing an echo. And
Okay, Serene, is there more you wanted to say?
No, I keep being interrupted. The governance committee is not a committee where the board decides that it's going to add people on the basis of the fact that they were chair or princess or anything else in a previous iteration of the board. If the governance committee meets and decides it wants to invite members of the public, which is essentially what this is, then I'm all for that. But I don't think the PNB should make a decision that just because someone used to hold a particular position, they should now
seconds.
Be allowed.
90 seconds. Thanks. Thank you, Serene. Jan?
Excuse me. I was interrupted twice. I should be allowed to finish my statement.
Please finish your statement.
This is a decision for the governance committee, and I object to people putting their friends in places of power.
Hey,
why
don't
we invite the last governance committee chair to join the committee? Serene, that person is in.
Thank you. Please wrap up your statement. Thank you. Jan, you wanted to speak, and I see Mala that you've got your hand up.
Point of personal privilege, and I apologize, but I got a couple of text messages that I had voted yes on Serene's amendment, and I just wanted to make sure that I didn't misspeak and that I was properly recorded as having voted no. I'm sorry.
That's my fault. I accept responsibility. You voted no, and I unfortunately didn't answer the right question.
I recorded you as no, Mila.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let us go on, Jan.
As I understand it, the motion was to make the ex-chair an ex-officio member, and I don't normally an ex-officio member has voice but no vote. It's non-voting. So in this case, we're not giving power to the ex-chair. What we're giving is voice and advice to the ex-chair. And I think that under the circumstances, that is appropriate. We're not changing the bylaws. We're not giving anybody extra votes. We're just having somebody there that can give us advice. And I personally would be happy to have advice from somebody who has been involved in governance. If I were on the governance committee, and especially newly on the governance committee, from someone who had been there. And so I don't think that this is materially or substantively giving power to somebody. And I totally agree with Serene that, you know, giving extra power here and there to, you know, old carryovers is a bad idea. But I think this is not that. So thank you very much.
90 seconds.
So we're ready for the vote now. I'm sorry, Ron.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make an amendment.
What is your proposed amendment?
Actually, I think my amendment would come better after the motion. So I'll raise it after the vote. Thanks.
Okay. And Ron, did you have a point you wanted to make or a question?
Yeah, I did want to make the point that there's nothing preventing the ex-chair from participating in that committee, and in terms of you know on a volunteer basis. I don't think the board should start making exceptions for individuals that that aren't necessary, and in this case, it's not necessary. If Julie wants to, you know, help that committee, I'm sure they will accept her help with open arms. But for us to say, well, this is going to be policy of the PNB, well, we're going to encounter this again somewhere down the line. So I'm just saying it's just unnecessary. If Julie wants to participate, she has every right to do so. And if that committee wants her advice, they have, you know, all the opportunity in the world to seek her advice without going through this.
Okay, we're going to go to the vote now.
Sean, could you have the maker of the motion read it again so we're all clear on what it is we're voting on?
Sure. Minerva, would you mind reading that motion again? Can you get your hands on it? And just a clarification, Julie is an officer as secretary.
Your phone line's muted, Minerva.
Can't hear Minerva.
She's still muted.
Yeah, she's got problems with the phone. Oh, she had sent it to me.
Yeah, she's in the chat saying she is having phone problems.
Right. Julie, I think she sent it to you and me and Kim. Can any of us put our hand on it quickly?
I think I could if you want.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay, please go ahead.
The motion is to make Julie Hewitt an ex officio member of the governance committee without the power of vote. That's pretty much the whole motion.
All right. That's it. And in my mind, that is a clear statement of it. And that's what will go in the minutes. So voting yes, you are in favor of the motion to add the secretary, media past chair, as a non-voting ex officio member of the governance committee. You vote no, then the board would not be making that addition. Julie, you ready to take the vote?
Sure. Irene Adams?
Yes.
Teresa Allen? I'll come back. Kaja Brown?
I abstain.
Okay. Donna Carter?
Abstain.
Okay. Jim Dingman?
Pass.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Jan Goodman?
You're muted.
I'm sorry, yes.
Heather Gray?
Pass.
Avalia Jones? I'll keep going. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Ron Pinchback?
Want to abstain?
Okay. Myla Reason?
Reason votes yes.
Sean Rhodes?
No.
Serene Roberts?
No.
Minerva Sanders?
She's still muted.
Yes.
Yeah, she's back.
She's back. Herbie Wasserman? Yes. Got you, Minerva.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I got Harvey.
Yes.
Egberto Willis. Yeah, I got you, Harvey. Egberto?
Yes.
Okay. Let me go back to the people who didn't respond. Teresa Allen?
Allen votes yes.
Jim Dingman?
Yeah, I'm going to vote no because I think Julie could do this anyway, and I'm just concerned about the timing of this. No.
Heather Gray?
Yes, vote. Okay.
Yep. Heather Gray.
I'll save my comment.
How about yes?
Avalia Jones. All right. That's the yeses are 12. The noes are 4. Chair, do you wish to vote?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Yes, Serene?
I would like to make an amendment.
What is your amendment? So you're making a motion?
I move that the former governance committee chair be invited to be also recommended to the committee, because I really think this is a committee decision, not a board decision, but anyway. But that the last governance committee chair be also positioned as an ex officio member.
But of inquiry?
Okay, what's your inquiry?
Would this former chair have voting rights or not?
I said ex officio. Ex officio means non-voting.
No, actually, ex officio does not mean non-voting. You have to specify non-voting. There can be ex officio voting or non-voting.
Non-voting, as I said.
Thank you.
Committee should really be making this decision.
Understood. So is there a second to the motion to add the immediate past chair of the governance committee as an ex officio non-voting member of the governance committee being stood up shortly?
Vanessa.
Is there a second? Vanessa seconds. Okay. Speak to Serene.
Sure. Aside from the fact that there are a number of people who don't always respect the bylaws, this is Beth Van Gunten, and she's not a buddy, trust me, but I do think she's very knowledgeable about our bylaws and very conscious about the importance. I'm sorry?
I heard something, but I don't know where it came from, Serene. Please continue.
She's very knowledgeable about our bylaws and the importance of complying with California corporate code, as we are California, we're incorporated in the state of California. And as I said, I think, you know, the entire procedure is unusual, but if we're going to go based on imagined expertise, I think she's among one of the more knowledgeable people in Pacifica with regard to our bylaws and actually observing them for the most part.
Okay. Is there someone who wishes to speak against? So then I guess we're ready for a vote.
I'll speak again. I think Teresa.
I would like to.
Teresa?
Yes, I'd like to speak against. I'm almost regretting that I voted to open the door with Julie, although she is an officer, so I didn't feel so bad about that. But I think there's just a limit, and I think it's going to be difficult with that. That committee should have at least 15 people on it. And I think if everybody's focused, you know, I don't think you'll need other people. Now, if they had an issue and they wanted to invite someone to come in and the committee said, let's invite so-and-so to speak, I think the committee could make those kind of decisions. But since we're voting on, we're making a decision like this, I'm going to say no.
Okay. So the vote before us now. Is if you are voting in favor, you were supporting the immediate past chair or the outgoing committee chair, I should say, to be a non-voting ex officio member of this committee. And that's Beth Van Gunten. If you vote no, that position will not be added to this committee. Julie, will you be kind to take the vote? Yes, you add. Beth, no, you don't.
Irene Adams.
Abstain.
Teresa Allen.
No.
Kaja Brown.
Abstain.
Donna Carter. I'll come back. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, abstain. This is too important to discuss in this cursory matter that you're doing right now.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'll keep going. Yes. Fred Dodsworth.
No.
Jan Goodman. Keep going. Heather Gray.
Jan says no.
I got you, Jan. Heather Gray.
Abstain.
Okay. Avalia Jones.
No.
Okay. Zach Caldvier?
No.
Marianne Martinez?
No.
Darlene Pagano?
No.
Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Myla Reason?
No.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Minerva Sanders?
I'm going to vote yes.
Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Egberto Willis?
Abstain.
All right, let me go back up. Donna Carter? Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
I'm sorry, are we voting again? Yes, I voted already.
Oh, okay, well then,
This is whether Beth comes on the committee or not. Did you vote on it?
I voted already. I voted, yes.
Okay,
I voted.
But I didn't record your vote, Vanessa. I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. So.
Oh, okay.
Could you repeat it, please?
Yeah. Yes.
Got it. Okay. Right. So let me try Donna Carter one more time.
Muted.
All right. There are 4 yeses and 9 noes. Chair, do you choose to vote?
I do not.
Okay. All right. So the motion fails.
So the motion that we now have, the main motion that is before us was motion on nominating, voting on the 2024 standing committee elections. And with the amendment that the secretary, immediate past chair, would be an ex officio non-voting member of the committee, and that the tellers will be called on to accept nominations to confirm willingness of those nominated to serve and then conduct the election. Teresa.
I call the question.
Okay.
Timekeeper.
Is there any objection to the motion as it has in its final form?
Chair, could it be repeated, please?
Sure. I'll read the motion. Okay. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws, Article 8, other committees of the board of directors, Section 3, standing committees requires the following standing committees of the PNB, coordinating committee, governance committee, finance committee and audit committee. Therefore, be it resolved that PNB nominations for standing committees open on February 1, 2024, when the nominations form is sent to all directors, that nominations close at midnight Pacific time on February 6, 2024. The directors will have till midnight Pacific time on February 8, 2024 to decline nominations, to have their name not placed on the ballot, that the tellers will send out ballots on February 9, 2024, and that ballots will be due by midnight Pacific time on February 13th, 2024. And really, it's an addendum that the secretary immediate past chair serve as an ex officio non-voting member on the governance committee. Are there any objections to the motion?
Yes, I have concern.
Yes.
Why are we rushing through these elections in 3 and 4 days? Normally, people are allowed at least a week.
There is a week.
No, so, ballots are going out on the 9th, I think you said, and they're due back by the 13th. That's not a week in New
yes.
York.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're correct.
So I would ask that we be allowed a week.
So you're objecting to the motion as it has been crafted. February 13th says that there will be the results will be available for the February 15th meeting. So you're objecting to this motion. Let's take the vote. Sorry.
Question.
Yeah, question. Jim?
Yeah. What has been the normal procedure to do these elections? Has it been a week or 4 days in the past?
So, Jim, let me just respond that we are a week late in starting this this term because the 2023 board postponed our initial meeting. So we're playing catch up, and those times have differed from year to year. Myla, Teresa on the staff.
Serene for the staff.
If sure. We're discussing this, I'd like to point out to my fellow board members that the dates that are proposed now have already been I wasn't part of it, but I'm presuming that our tellers have already agreed to these dates. And they are also going to be helping with local elections at KPFK and at KPFT, I believe. So we have already negotiated dates for subsequent elections on the local level with our tellers. And if we don't accept these dates, we may have to go back and find out from Sarah Roos and Terry Goodman whether they are amenable to not only changing the dates for these PNB committee elections, but also we may have to alter timelines for LSB elections as well. So I'm hoping that everyone will agree to the dates that have been worked out by the tellers and our coordinating committee. Thank you.
Teresa, then Darlene, and I'm concerned that we may be at time.
Can you hear me? I'm trying to get on the stack.
Okay, so Teresa, then Darlene, then Serene.
Thanks.
Teresa?
When we met face-to-face, and there were, you know, for the first 4 years we met face-to-face, we would have a board, and we'd pass it around and say, what committees do you want to be on? And then all of the LSBs hustled to get all of their people on the committees. Unless we want to have lame duck committees and people on the committees that are not even on the LSBs and not on the PNBs, but they're still on committees, I think it is critical that we do this quickly. And I don't think 4 days to vote, if, you know, we, as board members, since many of us are not really on committees yet, some of us, fair number of us are not on committees as directors or such. So I think it's important that we get the vote going on, and it shouldn't take us if 4 days pass and all we have to do is vote on the people who were nominated, that's not much to do. And we've proven that we can vote and we can send in non-disclosure agreements in a short period of time. So I think that might be good, and it's good that we get it done so we can go on to our next PNB meeting and have all of the committees with people seating in them and scheduling meetings. Thank you.
Darlene, and then Serene.
I'd like to be on the stack too.
There'll be a number
Darlene,
of,
then Serene, then Jim.
There'll be a number of back
who's timing.
Forth.
Who's timing this section?
I am.
Are we at time yet?
Well, I'm not timing the sections. I'm timing the speakers.
And I'm trying to time the session, Jan, but we don't have a time assigned to it.
Well, let's assign a time, folks.
Or call for the question.
Oh, I call the question.
Seconded.
I object.
And why don't we exhaust the stack?
Why don't we just exhaust the stack? And the stack is Darlene, then Serene, then Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to point out that the 4 days that we will have to vote by email, not snail mail. We don't have to worry about who got what when. And we will have been working on this since the 6th, but actually we're working on it since the 1st. So if people need to help other people decide to be on committees, you can start today and then on the 6th make the nominations and yada yada, and then 4 days to send in one email. Please, we have the capacity and the skill to do that. Thank you.
Serene, and then Jim, and then we vote.
So a few corrections. The chair stated that we're a week behind because the 2023 PNB met on the 18th. The bylaws say that the new board is seated in late January, and for every year in the past, I don't know how many decades, that has always been the last weekend of January, and since we've stopped having in-person meetings, it's meant the last Thursday. So I don't know on whose schedule she imagines we're, quote, late, but that's incorrect. The LSBs are changed in December, and the PNB is changed in January. So there's always a period when people are on the PNB, the almighty PNB, when they're not on their LSBs. So the idea that someone might stay on a committee for a week longer is not the end of the world, because there have been people who've been on the PNB for a year longer than they should have been. And certainly in every single year, they're on for a month longer than they're on the LSB. So please don't confuse the issues. People are going to send their name in for nominations. And I don't think we're going to be having a meeting between that time and when people vote. So if people want to make contact with the candidates and ask them, hey, why should I vote for you, or whatever the case is, give us the week to make that decision. It's not the end of the world, and it's not out of process, and it doesn't hinder the LSBs from doing anything. Ask Terry and Sarah to offer.
Please wrap up your comment.
Let me finish my sentence.
Wrap up your comment. Thank you. Wrap up your comment. You're at time.
I could have been done if you'll stop interrupting me. The fact is that if you explain to Terry and Sarah that the board wants a week to do their decision, discussion, debate, and voting, I'm sure they will offer us other dates.
Next, Jim.
2 minutes.
I pass.
Okay, so let's go to the vote. Voting yes is supporting the time frame as spelled out, and voting no is to revisit what the time frame will be.
Please let me describe what I'm saying, because you're mischaracterizing it again. The fact is that if you say to Terry and Sarah, the board wants at least a week, let them offer new dates, and we can.
So let me ask you, are you making a motion to amend? Are you making a motion to amend?
Yes, that's why I said we shouldn't do it in 4 weeks. We should do it in
8 weeks. So your motion to amend is to change the timeline.
Excuse me, the question was called.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Fred. You're right. So we're at the vote for the motion as it has been put forward.
Madam Chair, you're misstating my amendment.
I'm sorry. Two things.
Can the amendment be put in the chat as usual?
An amendment is not in order because we're already voting on the main motion. So there is no amendment. Vanessa?
What was I going to ask you, Lord? It's not clear what we're voting on. I'm just not clear about it.
So I will read.
Point of order.
What's your point of order?
Doesn't the body vote to call the question?
Yes. So there has been a
motion on that.
Chair,
this is Kim. The board just voted to call the question after finishing the stack. So the stack is finished and the question is at hand.
We need to be clear about what we're voting on.
Thank you for the reminder, Kim. And because this is important, I will read this motion one more time so everybody knows what we're voting on. But we've called the question at the end of the stack, and the stack was completed. So the motion is, whereas the Pacific Bylaws, Article 8, Other Committees of the Board of Directors, Section 3, Standing Committees requires the following standing committees of the PNB, Coordinating Committee, Governance Committee, Finance Committee, and Audit Committee. Therefore, be it resolved that PNB nominations for standing committees open February 1, 2024. When the nominations form is sent to all directors, the nominations close at midnight Pacific time on February 6, 2024. The directors will have till midnight Pacific time on February 8, 2024 to decline nominations, to have their name not placed on the ballot, that the tellers will send out ballots on February 9, 2024, and that ballots will be due by midnight Pacific time on February 13th, 2024. Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
All right. Irene Adams.
Madam Chair, may I just ask one point of information?
Yes.
So I understand. That was a motion that was presented on the floor. So the discussion that came up with Serene Roberts was not an amendment.
She did not put it forward as amendment, Teresa. Let's just go ahead and vote on the motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Irene Adams?
I'm voting for the motion, whatever that is. I'm voting for the motion to go the way that it was stated.
Got it. So that's a yes. Teresa Allen?
I say yes. Thank you.
Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Donna Carter? Welcome back. Jim Dingaman?
Pass.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Pass.
Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Yes. Heather Gray?
Pass.
Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Yes. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Yes. Myla Reason?
Reason votes yes.
Yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
That was a yes.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Serene Roberts?
No.
Minerva Sanders? Welcome back. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Egberto Willis?
Yes.
All right, let me come back to the top. Donna Carter? All right, Jim Dingaman?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Abstain.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Minerva Sanders.
I think Minerva is again having trouble with her phone.
She could vote in the chat if she would like to.
No, actually you can't. You have to vote by voice.
Okay.
So that people, it has to be recorded. So at the moment we are at 16 yes, 1 no. Chair, do you choose to vote? Okay.
I don't choose to vote.
Okay. So it stands at 16 yeses, 1 no, so the motion carries.
Okay. The next agenda item is ED report. And this is a 15-minute
item. Madam Chair, the timekeeper would like to point out that there are 16 minutes until it is 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
Thank you very much. So we have, may I ask the executive director if she would be willing to have a 10-minute presentation? And I think that our general counsel isn't with us. Jim?
No, I'll wait.
Okay, great. Stephanie, is it okay to take it away?
Yes. Well, the ED report was sent to everyone this afternoon, and in it, it has a list of payables. Not all of the payables on there are updated because we still have yet to receive some information from some of the stations. But as of the 30th, we had total payables. Some are just 30 days due, so they're not past due, and others are, as long as 5 years past due. But our total payables right now is $1,311,011. We are making headway on paying some of these down, having all the, having the majority of the stations have their money in a consolidated bank account has made it very easy or easier because we've been able to get invoices and check requests and really keep better track of prioritizing what needs to be paid. As far as our loan information, we have roughly $440,000 in unpaid interest for our FJC loan and about $104,000 in the SBA EIDL. The total loan payoff of both of those for the FJC, our payoff is $2,548,821. And the total payoff for the SBA EIDL is $2,079,430. So if we have our total payables with our loan interest only, since the loans don't need to be paid off right now, so our total payables with the loan interest is $1,855,783. As of today, the bank balances for all of the stations and including the payroll account is, well, the stations and the divisions. When I say divisions, that is referring to the archives and also the affiliates. Our the total bank balance as of today is $734,141. I did want to share that as far as central services, KPFT and the affiliates have been paying the full percentage of their central services, which is roughly $3,000 and $7,000 respectively each month. KPFA also began paying 50% of their monthly central services last week. So we greatly appreciate that at roughly $17,500. So that has been extremely helpful for us to be able to catch up on some of these bills. One of the wonderful things that we can announce as well, thanks to Arthur for his help in finding an insurance broker, is that we have signed an agreement with an insurance company for liability and casualty insurance across the network. So we're very, very pleased about that. We thank Arthur for his work on that. We've signed the contract with the coverage, and now we're just figuring out the payment plan for them, and we'll be paying our first installment very soon. So again, it's extremely important that we do have those stations paying central services, and we greatly appreciate those stations that do. As far as the Los Angeles building sale, both parties have agreed to a 2-week extension for the close of escrow, which is allowing us more time to be able to remove the liens that are on the building with FJC and also the Small Business Association. So our closing date is now the end of February. We have secured a temporary location for KPFK in Glendale, California, that includes a studio space and a small work area. And we also may be adding another small area for storage and or the membership department. So we're finalizing those lease agreements. We've had a great group of volunteers that have worked very diligently, and they still continue to work on that project. So very grateful for that group and for the interim general manager and the staff members who have been helping us with that. We did have some individual donors who were fronting the first and last and the security costs for the move out, which is approximately $7,000. And we thank them for fronting that money for us. We are very close to securing a large space for the archives so we can remove all of the archive materials that have been in this, storage for the last couple of decades. And we want to move them into one climate controlled space. It's a very large space that we were looking at. And this will allow us to have one single area where we can get a better grasp of all of the archive materials that we have, start the cataloging process or continue with the cataloging process, and then also prioritize the digitization. We have been making, as I said, some great progress with both FJC and SBA EIDL revising those loan agreements to remove the liens in order for the purchaser of the building to be able to release their funds. So the paperwork was a long process, but we are processing the paperwork through the Small Business Association for the EIDL. And then Arthur and I had a very successful meeting with FJC regarding the loan. So we're able to move forward with that. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I do.
Lorraine.
Sorry, I muted myself. Okay, the stack is Jim, Myla, Fred, Serene. And I think that's what the stack is. Jim?
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. It's great to hear that the stuff is going to come out of storage. That's really terrific. First of all, I wanted to ask, what are the thoughts of dealing with the problems we had last year when we had the application of the CPB? That is all the problems that stem from, about what, 10 years ago in terms of solving that. And secondly, the issue of AFRs, are we going to be able to, in your estimation, coming out of the sale of the building in Los Angeles, are we going to be able to catch up with the AFRs?
Well, the AFRs and the audited fine, there's two separate things. The audited part of the money that's coming from the sale of the building, we will be using to do our audited financial statements and our taxes, which are through our own auditors. For the CPB, those are a separate set of what we need to catch up on is their documents that are most grants, particularly with government grants, have a whole separate set of documents that you file with your grant reports. And so there's the CPB AFRs, which are different from just our regular audited financial statements. So twofold. Yes, we will be catching up with our audit. Our auditors are ready and waiting for us. We just need the funds to move forward with that. And then we still continue to want to, you know, work with the CPB in order to get access to the portal, which will allow us to get the funds or get the paperwork and the forms that we need to show how we spent the money from 2013 through 2020. But you can't get into the portal unless you're getting funding. So we're kind of having to go through it backwards in order to get access to their portal once again.
Well, great. Well, I just want to just add that, you know, any help you need from me or anybody else, please enlist the labor. I know we're going to use John Amella soon. And John, of course, has an institutional memory of this. But any help you need, just give me a buzz and others, I'm sure, will help you out. Thank you.
Definitely will. Thank you.
The stack, Myla, then Fred, then Serene, then Ron, then Jan. Remember, let's keep it to, if we can, 60 seconds each so we can get to approving the schedule for future meetings and to the executive session. Myla, you?
Thanks. I was particularly disturbed to recently find out that there was archival material in storage that was not in temperature, refrigerated conditions, and that we may have actually lost a fair amount of our archival material. I would like to know, Stephanie, when you found out about this problem, how you found out about the problem, when the PNB might have found out, and is this not I know that you don't have an inventory, you don't have catalogs per se, but can you give us a rough estimate of how many tapes, how many boxes of tapes may have in fact been damaged because they were not properly stored? Thank you.
Approximately 80% of the archival material was moved into a storage facility when the archive building was sold. Again, I wasn't around during this time, quite a few decades ago. And the archives, and people can correct me if my history is wrong, the archives had their own building at one point, and that housed all the materials. That building was sold to help pay off the mortgage for the now current KPFK building. And part of the deal within the archives would move into that building rent free. There wasn't enough room in that building to store all the archival material. So our 80% of that material was put into various storage facilities across Los Angeles. I and the board found out, I would say probably just a few months ago, actually, that it wasn't air conditioned and it wasn't climate controlled. So one of the first things we want to do again is to move all of it out of that facility, out of the storage facilities. They've been paying rent of well over $2,000 a month for decades now, and move it into a much larger building that is air conditioned, where we can then have greater access to all of it at one time. I am not too sure what the quality is of the tapes that are there. I know recently somebody from WBAI had requested something that was in one of those storage facilities, and the director was able to go in, find the box, get the tapes, duplicate them, and send them off or digitize them. So not everything is some of it may I can't say that none of it is damaged, but I can't say that any of it is damaged, because we need to actually get in there and take a look. So that's why we hope to be able to get it in one big room. And they've been giving pretty much the marching orders of, you have to spend these next, you know, year and a half really focusing on digitizing and cataloging everything we have. And even if there is something that is damaged, we still want to be able to catalog it and know what it is, what it was, and see if there's any possibility.
Getting feedback. Sorry, we're getting feedback. Thank you.
And still being able to know if there's a possibility that we can get it fixed.
Point of information, Madam
Chair. Heather, point of prisoner privilege. Heather, you're causing feedback to come out.
She just muted.
Thank you.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
What's your point of information?
Magnetic tapes have a 20-year lifespan. People can do the math.
Okay, thank you. That's not actually a point of information. That's on the stack. Okay, next is Ron Pinchback. Then
actually, Serena, next was me.
Oh, so sorry, Fred. You dropped
fault.
Out of sight.
Yes. The minute by the way, just so everybody knows, the minute you talk, Zoom starts dumping you. So I'm going to start my clock. We found out about the tape issue in the last year, and we were hair on fire about it. And I really want to thank Stephanie for picking up the baton and running with it. I also didn't quite hear that WBAI is paying any of their central services. Can you please answer that? And last, I'm wondering what you can say in this format and this time about the FJC loans penalty phase and whether that's going to be erased.
Last year, WBAI hasn't paid central services this fiscal year. Last year, the WBAI paid $120,000 in central services. The FJC, we had, Arthur and I had a very successful meeting with them just a couple of days ago, and part of the things that we were discussing was reducing that late interest penalty of 18% on what is due in past interest. So we're still negotiating with that.
Thank you.
Timekeeper would like to note that we've gone past the 10 minutes by a minute or two for Stephanie.
So we're in session.
We are about time for the whole thing.
May I ask that we exhaust the stack? And the stack is currently Serene, Ron, Jan.
Second it.
And Dingman.
Jim's already spoken.
No, I said what I said.
So Serene, then Ron, then Jan. Serene?
Thanks for your report, Stephanie. What portion, I noticed that what you sent to us is marked confidential. What portion of what you sent, and much of what you sent seems to have been what you said here and on the finance committee a couple of days ago. So I'm not quite sure about the confidential aspect of that. If you could, in the next day or so, remove what you think is confidential and let us send the rest to our boards. People are very concerned about what's happening. That's one. And two, would you be able to do that?
Yes.
Thanks. And Mark Torres has said that while the building where the stuff is stored is not climate controlled, it is air conditioned. And he did not seem terribly worried. I mean, obviously he wants to know what we have, but he didn't seem terribly worried. So I'm not quite sure that all the alarm I'm hearing is justified, but maybe they didn't listen to that finance committee meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. Ron, then Jan, and then we're going to the next agenda item.
Okay. How you doing, Stephanie? Welcome.
Great,
welcome to
you.
The dance. Listen, my question is about the insurance. PFW had to cancel an event this past fall because we didn't have proper insurance coverage. We've also been not allowing phone volunteers into the building, or limiting that, because of insurance. Will the procurement of this insurance policy, alleviate these issues, you know, for us? I mean, can we start bringing people back into the building, without having to sign waivers? And can that insurance, once again, we had an external event we wanted, a fundraiser we wanted to put off, but we had to cancel it because of the lack of insurance. So once again, will this new insurance cover those types of things for us so we can start proceeding with business, again?
Yes.
How's that for an answer?
Simple and sweet. That's all I want to hear.
The general manager is already aware of this, so.
I didn't know we had single syllables in us. Okay, Jan, and she's the last on the stack, and then we go to the next agenda item.
I'm going to waive my time so that we can go to the next agenda item. Thank you, Stephanie, for your report.
Thank you.
And so we can try to be more timely to get on to the next section.
Okay, so the next agenda item, I'm going to keep Madam going.
Call the orders of the day.
Chair?
That's what we're doing right now.
Chair, I see Donna Carter's hand raised.
Okay, Donna?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I also at KPFA am very concerned about the inability of our members to come and volunteer and participate in discussions and so forth. So is there some kind of general understanding that stations should be open as long as the buildings are insured?
That is up to the general managers and the stations to make that determination.
Okay.
Okay, moving on with the agenda. The next item is the general counsel, who is not with us right now, I believe.
Madam Chair, I call the orders of the day. It is 10:06. We agreed to go into executive session at 10 by 10 o'clock.
So I would like to, is there a motion to extend for 5 minutes in order to take on the continuing meeting schedule?
Yes, yeah, so moved.
Jan Goodman, so moved.
So moved. I second that.
I object. There's already a
meeting. Okay, so you object. So what we're going to do then is have a vote on that. If you are in favor of extending for 5 minutes to address the upcoming schedule, you vote yes. If you are not, you vote no. Will the secretary take the roll?
Point of information, Madam Chair, can we just ask if there's anyone that objects other than the one person that says is objecting?
Thank you. Good idea. Anyone object other than Serene? No one objects other than Serene. So we will extend for 5 minutes to agree on the meeting schedule. What the motion is to continue first and third Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is there a second to that motion? Or I should say, is there any objection to continue with that meeting schedule?
I don't know, but I do have a question. So is that the schedule that you've always had?
It's the schedule that we've had for the last year.
Okay. Then I'll just work on that.
Thank you. And we'll do the best we can to be faster. Okay. There's one other item, which is carryover motions from the 2023 Personnel Committee. We are at time. And
I object, Darlene. Point of order. You just said we were extending for the next item.
And now you're absolutely
correct. Let's go into executive session.
Yeah, you're correct.
You got to go.
Serene, you're correct. I'm agreeing with you. So, we have finished the open, session and we'll move into executive session.
So the first thing, would you just, please state the time for the end of the open session?
I mean, what 7:05. Time?
Yeah, what time it is?
10:05.
10:06.
7:05 on the East Coast, on West Coast.